Well, we want to thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Bonner Breakdown. This week, I'm here with Bonner County Commissioner Dan McDonald. Dan, it's good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So you've been in here before, and
we've
had some fun conversation.
And in the hot seat.
In the hot seat. Yep. That's right. Well, you know, it's not that hot.
It really isn't. It's actually kind of a lukewarm seat.
Lukewarm seat. Yeah. Well, you know, for us religious people, that's not good.
I know. That's right, from the biblical perspective. Yeah, we're not.
We try to avoid.
Yeah,
lukewarm,
not the lukewarm, either hot or cold. Yeah.
Yeah, but we do like to try and make sure that we can listen.
Yeah.
And we can hear all the different perspectives. So that's what we do here. But hey, we are going to start off with our good report, right? We do a cheers to the good report to start off every episode. You know, right at the very beginning, I was having a conversation with my wife. I'm like, I need something catchy just because I want to do something positive at the beginning of every episode.
It's the
like,
hook. Ah, they call it the hook.
Give a cheers. I'm like, all right, cool. So here we are. So do you have you got a good report?
I do. And in fact, I completely forgot about the good report thing until you just rang it on me there. Thank you. But all I can share right now, as far as a good report, the first thing that comes to mind is a conversation Chris and I had before the show. And just the fact that I finally got to a point where I realized I was too fat. And I had to do something about it. And like I told you earlier, I said I was at a point where either I needed to get my own post office and zip code because I was taking up so much ground. I could have probably actually had a housing project too developed. But
come on, why not?
Or lose weight.
We'll dump a mill in you and see what comes out, right?
Or lose weight.
Yeah.
And so I went on this pretty aggressive low-calorie diet, which I thought was going to be horrific to do. When I looked at the menu, I said, there's no way a human, especially one my size, can live off that little bit of food. But shockingly enough, it was not difficult. And I wound up I started at the beginning of October, and by the time I got through, there's four different phases.
Of
2020. And by the time I got from beginning of October until the end of phase four, which was, what was that? It was back in January. I had lost 141 pounds.
Wait, October, November.
How much?
December.
You probably weigh, 100 and a half? I basically lost one of you.
I weigh 195.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
You know, so, October, November, December
January.
In 4 months.
So in January, it was the third week.
So you're averaging like 35 pounds.
Yep. There were times I was losing 2 pounds a day for weeks at a time.
Wow.
Yeah. And it helps to have muscle mass, helps because you're burning more calories even at rest. Right. But the amount of calories I was taking in were just, I mean, they were 900 to 1200 a day. It's a good plan. I mean, they give you little treats. Like we'd have blueberries. You could have two fruits a day. So we'd have blueberries at night as kind of dessert to keep
So Kathy kind of drove the bus a little bit with the cabbage,
huh? I mean, she was great at coming up with creative, tasty ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any spice you want, but no sugar.
Wow.
No alcohol, of course. I mean, there was all these kind of no-no-nos.
Uh-huh.
It was remarkably, I hate to say this, it was pretty easy. And I've turned it, and a bunch of people have been turned on to it from watching me because I'm, you know, posted on Facebook. And
all
I think
so if
like,
you're going to give a plug,
the plan is called Breakthrough M2.
Okay.
And that you get a counselor, she calls every week, so there's accountability, which I think is one of the best things.
That's huge.
For us, it was every Wednesday at 4:30. Got a phone call, and we had to, it was confession time. I'm not Catholic, but it was confession time. It was like, what'd you do this week? And we were really disciplined about it. And it was nice having the two of us do it at the same time because then there was also that daily accountability. So,
Well, Mika, you know, my wife's being a naturopathic physician, you know, she's found that if you can do it in pairs and you can have a partner, you're way more successful than trying to do it on your own. So like when we make dietary changes, we just do the whole thing as a family.
Yeah.
So if one of us needs a shift, we all shift.
Yep.
You know, and it works great. Wow. Well, so congratulations, man.
That's my good report.
Come on.
I feel great.
I don't even think I can top that. I mean,
I went from a 4XL to 2XL, and even this 2XL is, you know, as you showed you.
Feeling a little baggy. Wow. So. That's awesome, man.
That was a downside, is I had to go out and buy a bunch of new clothes, and I'm not a shopping type person. that's not my bag. I'm a buyer, not a shopper.
All right. Cool. Well, so for me, you know, on the good report, one of the things that I've just seen a couple things happen lately where people have been struggling with places to live, right? Finding housing, they're having to move for whatever reason. And I've had reports, you know, obviously working with the housing agency, but even in the church world, where small groups and groups from churches are helping these single older women move.
Oh, great.
Like they're just picking up, they're showing up with their trucks, they're loading everything up, and they're the women are showing up at the house and cleaning the old place and just helping, you know? And so it's just encouraging for me to see our community still rallying around the needs in the community.
It's been one of the beauties of this community, and we moved here full-time in 96, and there had been this horrific accident, and the girl was being brought back finally after being hospitalized in Seattle,
wow,
one of our local community, and the Long Bridge was lined with people to welcome her back. And it just kind of shows the cool nature of this community. And I've always told new people, because we end up getting new people into our office, and you know, what's it like? What are the people? I said, listen, if you're friendly to your neighbors, they will bend over backwards to help you out.
That's right.
They will absolutely bend over backwards to help you out, as long as you're cool to them, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the great thing about this community.
It really is. It's
someone
amazing.
Always is ready to step up.
Yep. So, yeah, that's my good report. It's always good to see community in action. You know. So hey, man, cheers.
Okay, I'm gonna do it with my water bottle.
Yep, there we go. Hey, it's all good, man. Whatever.
That was
works.
The other thing is you have to drink half your body weight in ounces per day. So when I started, I was drinking 9 quarts of water a day.
Let's take a sip to
and
that.
Now I can't stop. I enjoy it. Anyway.
That's great. So, for those people who maybe haven't watched you on the program before, and this is their first time really seeing Dan McDonald, the real Dan McDonald, not just the character of what everybody thinks Dan McDonald is.
Or my body double.
Your body double. Yeah. He's still got to lose weight. Yeah. But, you know, your body double does. But So tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of your history moving up here, and just a short recap.
Okay.
Because there is a previous episode that people, I'll put it in the link in the program if they want to see you up from when you were on last time. So,
moved here full time in 96. I started dating a woman in Napa who eventually became Napa, California. I know California is a bad word to some people, but it's good to be from
actually,
there.
Yeah.
Good to be from there.
Yeah.
But met this girl in church,
mm-hmm.
Started dating. Her parents were born and raised here. Her whole family's from here. So
when
we would go on vacation in the summer, we would always come here. And that was 79. First came up here. And the first time I had the typical Long Bridge experience, came across the Long Bridge and went, I have to live here, you know.
Totally.
And I was from a beautiful spot.
Napa
Valley is gorgeous, but nothing like here. So all of my career, I was struggling to find work here. I kept, you know, doing inquiries. Every year we'd come up, I'd try to find a job, could never find anything. And I got recruited by this company. And they said, you can live anywhere in the U.S. you want. We will pay to move you. And I said, well, we've got a house and property up here, North Idaho, Eastern Washington. And they looked at it and they said, you're nuts. There's not enough people in that area to constitute a territory. And I said, I don't care. Give it to me, and I'll make it work. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it started. We moved here full time in 96, and the rest was history.
That's awesome.
I was had a great career with a great company, fantastic job. Got to call my own hours, work out of my house. I was on the road a lot, but I was I had relatives, Dale Vanstone, former commissioner, and we had a family. We were having our yearly family reunion, and Dale and I started talking politics and. And he says, you know what? He goes, you need to run for county commissioner. I said, you're nuts. Why would I give up this great paying job to go be a county commissioner? I got all this freedom. No one's yelling at me. It's awesome.
I'm making money.
Yeah, I'm making good money. And he says, no, really, you ought to consider it. Well, next thing you know, fast forward several years, I'm doing this political talk show. I started watching the county going, man, their
budget. Who are you doing the talk show with?
Bob Windhausen. Okay. We had a face-to-face on 1400.
Yeah.
And so I started paying attention to the county and started looking at their budget because I have a background in that, in running businesses. And I'm going, man, they're really making some odd choices and spending some money that, you know, it's looking kind of bleak for the future. Someone needs to step up. You know, we always say that.
Right.
Someone needs to step up. And rarely do we ever look in the mirror. And so one day I came home and I told my wife, I said, hey, I want to give up this really good paying job with all this freedom where I only work, you know, 3 days a week and get a job working as a county commissioner. And she instantly wanted to have me committed. But she said, are you sure? And I said, well, yeah, I thought about it a lot. And I said, I think I can be a benefit to the community.
Uh-huh.
I think I can help people in the county out. I think I can get the county straightened out financially and operationally. And so I threw my hat in the ring and the rest is history. And I've still been able to retain my marriage.
Wow. Now that's impressive.
Just barely, but
that's impressive. Right?
Yeah. I think this year it'll be 38 years.
Congratulations, man. Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
And a lot of it's attributed to my wife. I'm really, kind of the idiot in the relationships. He's the smart one.
And
the extremely patient one. So
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And we all need to understand our role.
Yeah. But marriage, that's how I got to this chair today. Is that?
Yeah.
It was kind of that. And you know, I have no regrets. I've enjoyed the job and made a lot of nice changes. And I think for the most part, most of the people are happy. You can't ever make everyone happy.
Absolutely not.
It's the first thing you resign yourself when you go for political office. You're going to upset somebody regardless. So.
Yep. And some people are going to be vociferous about it. Mm-hmm. And that just is what it is. So, which is why I've never ran for politics. So tell me a little bit about some of the biggest wins that you've had so far as county commissioner. When you look back, you go, okay, these were really big wins that you've had.
So the first thing that when I was running in 2016, because my schedule was so free, I was coming down and hanging out at the county building and talking to department heads.
Right.
And one of my goals was to learn the job before I got the job. And so one of the things I started doing was meeting with Mike Rosedale, our clerk at the time, and he warned me about the way the cash flow was going and the burn rate on our cash and how we were going to run out of money based on spending. So I started pouring through the budget, looking for issues, and found several. So in the first year, we cut almost $10 million. By the second year, we'd cut a total of almost a little more than $20
million
in office, and it hadn't cut a single service. That's how much waste, slop, that type of thing. That was one of the first big wins. Now, part of that was because we made some other structural changes inside the building and the way we operate. We went self-insured for liability insurance and for health insurance, which started out saving us over $1 million a year, every year. And now that rates have moved up dramatically, ours are continuing to drop because we're self-insured. So that is a great return. We also changed processes with all the departments.
Yeah.
We started looking for redundancy and what are you doing as a department that you probably shouldn't be doing? And a lot of credit goes to the department heads who kind of saw the momentum and said, okay, we're going to jump on board. We like this because now we're doing things more efficiently. It's making our life better. And we're better managing our budget. So those are probably the biggest wins. But there's a lot of little parts that go with all those big ones as well. So. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, during that process, I know that it was very difficult for certain people to walk out that change.
Yep.
You know, so what have you seen as kind of being your biggest challenge so far?
So within the first 3 months, the term I would always hear when people, I would say, listen, why are we doing it this way? And they'd say, this is the way we've always done it.
Right.
So I stood up in the monthly, we have a staff meeting every month with all the department heads and the other electeds. I said, okay, I'm banning a phrase from the county. And that phrase is, this is the way we've always done it. Because when you use that phrase, it gets rid of all creativity.
Yep.
It gets rid of the try. We're going to try to do it differently. We're going to look for better alternatives. And so I made the announcement. And again, thanks to the department heads who, you know, grabbed the mantle and said, okay, here we go.
Okay.
We're going to move this direction. And we've just made a lot of great small changes that no one ever sees.
Yeah.
But when you back up, it's like we never had central purchasing.
Okay.
So each department was buying two reams of paper or a case of paper. So I hired a person for, I think it was like 50 some odd thousand a year at the time. And in the first 7 months, she saved the county 700,000 just collectively purchasing, buying pallets of paper. You know, I mean, just those type of things.
Right.
Negotiating purchasing agreements with other vendors. So it's those kind of things that lead to that collective and sustained savings. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
And the biggest function for commissioners, because we're like the CEOs of the county,
right,
is to make sure we're responsible for the funds.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I had a great meeting with you guys 2 weeks ago on Friday, or was it 3 weeks ago now?
3 weeks ago, yeah.
Yep. So, and we were talking about housing, right?
Yep.
And so I'd love to get your kind of hot take on some of the growth here. I know we're going to talk about some stuff concerning growth, but we're seeing an unprecedented a level of housing price increases. We're seeing, you know, the availability of rentals is gone.
Right.
So we're in a really unique position as a community with very little to no options, seemingly, for creating opportunity for locals to live here. And so what, give me your 2 cents on kind of what you're seeing with the housing.
Well, let me first state the obvious. Our demand is greater than our supply.
Yep.
And so that's the first challenge.
Welcome to the price increases.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing is we're seeing real estate costs go up dramatically. We're seeing houses that are, that when they do come up for sale, they're listed in the morning. They're under contract by noon for a lot more than the asking price. Bidding wars. We're seeing long-term rentals shifted to vacation rentals, which are short-term rentals, which then eliminates that a lot of that market sector, which then, of course, increases rents, which are problematic. So the realization is we obviously need more inventory. Now, how do you get that? Because there's always that element's going to push back that we don't want to grow. We don't want to be like Hayden. We don't want to be like Coeur d'Alene. And I completely agree. But keep in mind that Hayden and Coeur d'Alene, all that development is within the city limits. We're talking about county. We have no authority in the city, so we're just talking about the county. So we're looking for opportunities in suburban and recreational areas where the zoning's a little bit tighter. We can get down to 10,000 and 12,000 square foot parcels with, as long as they've got sewer. You know, your municipal sewer, and that's important. Because that's one of my other growing concerns is that
it's a big one.
How many septic systems can we actually have in the county? Blanchard's Blanchard's a good example. Blanchard area is booming right now. They're over the Rathdrum Aquifer, which is actually controlled by the feds. And I just keep waiting for the day that they come in and they say, okay, no more. So we've been talking to people that either have existing sewer systems, like over at the golf course in Blanchard, at Stone Ridge, talking to other folks that, you know, about developing sewer systems or community systems, because I, you know, I'm concerned. I live here. I'm going to live here until I die, hopefully. I'd be nice if I wouldn't die, but, you know, at a certain point, everything's got to come to an end.
Hey, man, you're doing a good job of trying to prolong your life.
I may have added a few years, but those are the big picture questions. Then, of course, the challenge is always, well, what does it look like? How do you do it? You know, how do you do it? Because we also, at the same time, want to protect farmland. You know, protect ag, protect forest land. So, you know, as with
And the natural character of our region.
And as we say in our mission statement, protect the rural nature of Bonner County. So those are always it's a tough road because we have the two sides, you know, and it's always fine when it's someone else's neighbor, but when it suddenly it lands in your backyard, you're more concerned. So, so we wrestle with that a lot. I think planning's doing a good job at looking way forward. We're working with the local cities to try to readjust the area of city impact to be more realistic so that we can help them enforce their land use within a revised area of city impact. So we're planning 30 years ahead as opposed to just planning for next year. I mean, that's, I think that's one of the mistakes that, that gets made. And we're going to talk about kicking the can down the road with, with this road stuff. But it's always what you see when you start looking backwards at how were decisions made and what were those decisions and what do they actually reflect. And a lot of politicians love to kick the can down the road. You get a big problem, it's like, well, we'll just put that off for the next guys. You know? And we've resided ourselves as a commission that we're not going to be those guys. We want to tackle the big things.
Well, I will say that that's one of the things I've always appreciated about Shelby. And, you know, like when it came to dealing with Memorial Field. Let's pull the trigger. Let's move. So, you know, there's that level of, okay, let's, you know, we can get some things done. But I do think that we're entering into this position where we're not going to be able to maintain rural, the characteristic of our community. You know? You know, I was thinking,
and I think
about,
there's still ways. I mean, you can do things tastefully. We don't want we don't want wall to wall. In fact, I've seen some of these neighborhoods where you go into, and I think, thank the Lord, I don't live there because I would never be able to find my house. They all look exactly the same.
Thank God
there's numbers on the buildings, you know. So, but
and they need to make the numbers bigger.
Absolutely, well, absolutely. Especially the older you get, if you start doing that. But, but well, I think that's one of the important design aspects. Now we don't have any control over that. We can to a large degree, but to a small degree we do. But I think that's one of the important aspects if you are going to build here and if you are going to build a development. And no one's knocking down our doors right now yet to build large-scale developments. But if they are, then let's make sure there's, you know, tree buffers between the road and, and the development. Let's make sure they're nicely arranged and appointed and the land use is done properly. And please don't make them all look the same because I'll never find anybody that lives in there.
Well, I think that that you know, just one of the biggest challenges also is the character of the community changes a lot when people not from the community move here. And I think you, you know, you have a joke about starting a class.
For
people, but
so there was, and it's one day I had this revelation. I'm on first, waiting. In fact, I pulled up and stopped. There's a gal with New York license plates trying to get out in a Subaru. And, I stop and do the typical Bonner County thing. Oh yeah, I'll stop. Go ahead and come on out. So I wave her out and she looks ahead and looks back at me again. And I'm going, no, go ahead. She looks ahead, looks back at me again. Go ahead. And she looks back and flips me off and goes roaring out. And I thought, you know what? We need a class for the new people that move here. Because I recall when I first moved here, the hardest thing was slow down.
Yeah.
Everything's slower here. Mm-hmm. I always tell everybody, if you need a part or something, it's going to take 2 days, regardless of what it is. Because that's the culture here. We're not in a hurry. We enjoy where we live. Mm-hmm. We enjoy being here. We enjoy going outside and seeing what's around us.
Yeah.
So I think we need a class. It could be as short as 2 weeks. And then we're going to train you here. Of course, well, everybody will have a little electric cords hooked to them. And if they get the answer wrong, we buzz them.
Wow. Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Wow, no, I'm just kidding.
That's a little more aggressive than I thought you were going to get with that.
Well, if you want real change.
Well, you know, one of the things that is interesting is how so many people love when they come up here. Mm-hmm. You know, they come up here. My wife was skiing, and this wonderful family, you know, is up there, and they're from. I don't remember if it was somewhere on the East Coast. And they're like, this place is amazing. Everybody is so nice. And they're like, we're going to move here. And because like, wait, well, hold on. You know, like we got a lot already, you know, but that's just the reality of that character that people just love how we are.
Well, and I think that's the key, because I've always said, I don't have a problem with anybody that moves from another area.
Right.
I don't care if it's California or whatever.
Absolutely.
But when you move here, remember why you want to live here. Remember what the culture's like, and don't try to change it. Because I can't not tell you how many times I've had conversations with people saying, you know what, we moved here because we love the area. But you know what you need? You need a, and then fill in the blank. Big shopping mall, you know, big freeways, boom, 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 boom. And it's like, well, no, that's really not who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We like to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. We like to make it make sense. We don't need a lot of big everything. Mm-hmm. Coeur d'Alene and Spokane are not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're from another part of the country where they're used to driving 100 miles. Yeah. It's nothing. Yeah. You're not.
Well, let's talk about the toll
that's
happening, right? Because there's some realities of having so many people move into the area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing huge increases of building permits.
Mm-hmm.
Huge increases, obviously, with home sales and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing that a lot of people don't consider and don't think about is the toll on the infrastructure.
Yep.
So,
and in fact, I'll give you some of our latest numbers out of planning.
Okay, great.
So we had a typical, our biggest year in planning, and I'll keep it just to round numbers, but our biggest year in planning was 2005.
Okay.
That was when the most permits, most,
things
happening land use wise were going on, and it was a record year. Since the housing crash, we hadn't seen that. Now, the last couple of years, we saw ourselves steadily creeping towards that number.
Yeah.
But already this year, we were on pace to blow out 2005.
Wow.
I mean, at this point in 2005, I think there was 86 building location permits issued. We're already at 164, I think.
Wow.
I recall the number. I mean, it's planning is slammed. I mean, they are absolutely slammed.
Yeah.
And so with that growth, what we're seeing is when we start looking at, okay, where is this growth happening? It's almost all rural.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the most part, it is because of the county. We're dealing with just the county, not the cities. But we're seeing people that are moving further out. They want their own little piece of paradise, which is awesome. But what that means is the infrastructure that we worry the most about, roads, are being heavily impacted. Mm-hmm. We've got about 364 miles of gravel roads in the county.
Okay.
And what we started seeing over the last couple of years is our cost to maintain those roads going up exponentially. Mm-hmm. Every year, we always see, you know, material and labor increases, but this was of a magnitude that was starting to really alarm us. And so we started trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do about this? In 2018, we commissioned an engineering study of our roads.
Okay.
And they came back with some growth estimates, and we were talking about this before the show, but the growth estimates are hilarious because they're not even close now. We've blown those so far
out of
the water, it's not even funny.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So with that comes a greater impact on these county roads. So we tried to figure out how are we going to handle this, because it's actually putting a toll on our budget for road and bridge. I mean, we've successfully kept taxes flat at the county level for the last 3 years on purpose.
Okay.
And we've been utilizing a lot of the money we get from new construction to handle inflation. So we haven't had to take an increase. But what's happening now is now we're seeing road and bridge having to spend more and more and more every year that the taxpayers are paying for. And so we're at a crossroads. Do we increase taxes? Do we go for a levy to try to make some more permanent fixes? You know, what do we do? And so we started traveling down this path seriously last July when we were doing budgeting.
Okay.
And so I started doing some research, and I took a typical 2-mile stretch of road that has moderate to low traffic counts on it. We do car counts.
What's that mean?
It's about, it's typically low is under 300.
Okay.
Moderate to low is 3 to 350
okay.
cars a day. On those roads, I took one of the roads, pulled it out, looked at all the maintenance records over the last several years, extrapolated that cost out over a 20-year period, then looked at hard servicing with chip seal on top of that at five-year intervals. And in a 20-year period, we saved $280,000 by hard servicing over what we're paying to maintain a gravel surface.
Wow.
So that's the good news.
Okay.
If you want another good report, that's a good sign. Yeah. So we're doing
that. Save you money.
We're doing a double good report today. But that's the upside. That was what had us moving towards, okay, now how do we fund this? Because we started identifying roads that we had in this report and started looking at primary collectors, places where, you know, five or six or seven roads come into a main thoroughfare.
Okay.
And, you know, what can we do with those? And so we started kicking it around, and we had a couple options. One, we could take Foregon. We have a very sizable Foregon account. And I don't know if you know what Foregon is.
Tell the average Joe what that might mean.
Okay, and this is complicated, and I'll try to simplify it.
Yeah, go for it.
But Foregon, any year that we do not take the 3% allowable increase, that money goes in as a ledger entry with the state. So it's still available to us. We just haven't taken it. At any time during the history of the county, commissioners can reach back and realize that money.
Okay.
Now, the last 3 years, we haven't taken anything. So there's the 9% from each of those years. And to confuse people even more, when we're talking about the budget, our total budget is about $60 million.
Mm-hmm.
Of that, about $23 million, roughly, is supported by property taxes. So not the whole budget. In fact, one of the other successes was we were able to shift from a 60% funded budget by property taxes down to about 43% by changing some of the fee structures. People who were pulling building location permits, that the permit didn't actually cover the cost to process the permit. So we were able to make that shift, and it was great, really helpful. But of that, we were allowed to take 3% of that number, that $23 million.
Okay.
So roughly, what, $700,000, something like that.
Yeah.
So we could take that. We have $2.7 million in the account. We actually vacated last year's Foregon. The state legislature passed a law that said you don't have to have it go to that ledger, so it can never be taken. So we did that, or else we would have $3.4 million, which is about the amount we need to start this road program every year. The problem with taking Foregon is it raises your taxable level up permanently forever, up to that new level. So if you're paying $100 now, then you're going to be paying the $100 plus the Foregon percentage that applies to your property. So that was kind of a non-starter.
Yeah.
In fact, this board's been great about considering Foregon kind of a bad word.
Okay.
We don't let people say the word.
Yeah, it's resources that you can utilize, and yet regardless of whether or not you spend it, you're being taxed.
Well, you would be if we realized it. So it's a ledger entry. It's just writing on a paper right now. The best way to equate it is we can reach back into the past and grab that money. So we've never wanted to do that. That's been our, in case of a real emergency, break glass fund. Mm-hmm. And we like it right where it is.
Okay.
We're not taking it from anybody. So that's an option. But again, it increases taxes every year for everybody. So then I came up with this idea, what about doing a two-year rotating levy? I said, but here's the kicker. We're going to list actual roads, and we will do those roads.
Mm-hmm.
We will not say, oh, we were going to do six roads, but
we only did four.
Even to the point where if we had to pull it out of Road and Bridge's regular budget to finish it, we would make sure we lived up to that commitment. Now, the plus to a two-year levy is you're going to pay for it in those 2 years, and then it's gone. We haven't touched the base rate. It stays the same.
Okay.
We're thinking it's going to take, depending on the amount of roads that we hope to get done, and depending on oil prices, which is a thing we're really paying a lot of attention to right now.
Well, yeah, they just are shooting up.
We're hoping to get it done in 6 to 10 years max, and then we're done.
Okay.
And we're not going to do every gravel road. We don't want to do every gravel road. Uh-huh. There's a couple of criteria.
You just want to do my gravel road. I know how this actually works. Yeah. So you're going to do my gravel road.
So we're looking at, that suitcase full of cash you have in the front, slide that in my pickup. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
we're just kidding, folks.
No.
I have to be careful because some people go, did you hear what Dan McDonald said?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Suitcases of cash.
So we're looking at major collectors. Yeah, we're looking at major collectors, and they're also looking at problem roads.
Okay.
We redid a road last year, and right now we're doing about 3 to 4 miles of road every year was all we're able to do under the budget we got.
Okay.
So we did a road last year that, as we started tearing into it and trying to figure out what the problems were, we found that they had built a gravel road over tree stumps, you know, over decaying biological stuff. So that was one of the problems we were seeing with these roads, and there are a few of them out there that we suspect are just like that. So add all the extra cars to it, and it's a recipe for disaster.
Yep.
So
our
idea was to do this, looking at the fact that if we take this step now and we do the responsible thing now, it's gonna be sustainable for the future, and it's gonna save us all money down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we will.
So the goal is if you're gonna do levies, is to then secure those levies in a manner that doesn't allow the money to go to some other project, some other thing. Because I think, you know, whatever the levy is, I think people get like, oh, it's going to be free money.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And this is going to be dedicated funds, which is a key word. It's a term used in the state under budgeting that we can actually dedicate these funds, and they only go for those projects.
Great.
We can't use them to buy new trucks. We can't use them to throw pizza parties. Although that would be great if we could.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Not anymore, unless it's made out of cabbage.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Or what is it? Cauliflower. Yeah.
Cauliflower and cabbage.
Trust
pizza.
Me, I've eaten a lot of cauliflower in the last several months. But that's the other key it's being responsible and accountable to do what we say we're going to do and to do it right. And if anybody knows anything about me, they know if I say, hey, we're going to do this, it's going to happen. And all the commissioners are on board with this. I mean, we're kind of in simpatico with this thing. As we weighed all the different options, this was the only way to fly. And levy's got a bad word. We call it the other four-letter word that begins with L.
That's true.
Levy's got a bad word. But when you step back from the hysteria of the word levy and look at it and go, okay, we can invest now to save later, or we can just wait and kick the can down the road.
Mm.
And I'll give you a couple of examples of what kicking the can down the road looks like. If we kick the can down the road, it's going to cost us a heck of a lot more later.
All right.
So solid waste, good example. 1996, they put in a new tipping floor at the Colburn facility. And for those who don't know, all the trash created and taken to our sites all ends up at Colburn Culver, not too far from your church, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Yep.
And from there, it gets shipped out of the county. Yep. So we are inefficiently hauling trash from all over the county into this tipping floor. This tipping floor was designed and built in 1996. It had a 4-year expected performance life. It was a stopgap measure. That was it. Something to get us through the next few years so that we can plan to do it right.
Oh.
But then the plan to do it right part never actually happened. Mm. So here we are, 96 to 2000 or 2001 now. So we are looking to do some dramatic improvements there. What it would have cost us to do it in 96 compared to what it's going to cost us to do it now.
It's always the case, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, nothing's going to be less expensive than it is right now.
No.
And the same thing applies to these roads. If we wait, we could wait 10 years and you'll pay 30 times more than what it's going to cost today.
Come on. Yeah.
And so
totally.
So you start doing the economic analysis on it. You start looking at the savings, you start looking at the increased costs, and then just the responsibility as elected officials to go, okay, we're here to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Not the thing that's convenient for me, because as you know, I own a big chunk of property, so when it comes to the levy, I'm going to pay a good share of it.
Yeah.
But it's the right investment to make in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of, you know, doomsday scenarios. If we aren't able to maintain the roads correctly, someone gets hurt, someone gets killed, you know, lawsuit to the county.
Yeah, who's liable?
These levies would be nothing compared to that. So this is when we have to kind of step back from the, oh my goodness, it's a levy, to go, okay, wait a minute, this is what responsible government looks like. You want responsible government, this is responsible government.
Right, because there's a handful of things that the county's really going to effectively change and effectively, you know, set a standard on, right?
Yep.
Like, so planning and zoning is a huge issue. But then the infrastructure, roads maintenance, you know, being a huge issue as well. So when you look ahead at this process, what are you looking at for the timelines and what's happening? Where are we at?
We're going to go on the ballot in May. And one of the other commitments, so when we were kind of putting this thing together in the early stages, I said, okay, we've got to have something every year in each one of the districts. You can't just go, okay, this year we're going to do District 3, which is my district, the northern part of the county. Next year we'll do District 1, which is southern part of the county. And then 2, that, you know, we have to, every year we have to do something in each one of those. Let's identify roads so that everybody gets a little bit of something.
Okay.
And then within those three districts, we came up with little sub areas And I've got a graphic, but it'll never show up on camera. But there's a PowerPoint, and we'll have it available out there.
So if you have, do you have a link to it online?
I can get you. I'll email it to you.
Email it to me, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, perfect.
So if people want to take a look at it, you can get it to the link, and
they
can either download it or view it. That's great. Okay.
So we've identified roads in each one of the districts. We're going
to make a note of that for the PowerPoint. Or the presentation and show notes, so we don't forget, because I might forget. Logan, our awesome producer, who's hanging tough with us today. Which is good. So
in the first year, and let me back up just a touch. One of the other realities is we don't want to budget too far ahead for these.
Okay, what do you mean? What do you mean by not budgeting too far ahead? Because we don't know what the costs will be.
Well, we don't know what the costs are going to be, and what I don't want to run into, and the business I was in before is I did a lot of. A lot of government work. I was a commercial roof consultant, and they would say, "Hey, give us a 5-year budget outlook for projects." And I go, "Well, tell you what, I'll give you an accurate one for a year, and then we're going to guess on the next 4 years. And as we move through the year, I'll continue to update those it just oil prices. So when you're building a road, what does it take to build a road? It takes, of course, asphalt in the pavement. It takes oil, gas, diesel in the trucks. Mm-hmm. All those things are going to have an effect on future values. Wages are always going to have an effect on values. These roads are going to be done. We're going to do all the below grade stuff. We're going to do the culverts and stuff within the county, and because our guys by far do the best work when it comes to that. I don't think a private sector business can keep up with our guys. But when it comes to paving, we don't do that because that's not who we are. That's not our wheelhouse. So it can be done more efficiently without. So we will bid these projects out.
So we
developed a budget for next year if we are able to pass the levy. In May is when it'll come up.
Okay.
And so there's out of the three districts, we have East Newfort Road. There's going to be 3.7 miles done there. Spades Road, which is down in the Sagal area. District 2, which is over in by Priest River, Priest Lake. East River Road. And East River Road is the secondary egress for Priest Lake.
Okay.
So if Highway 41, is it 41? 57. If Highway 57 has an issue, this is your only alternative route. So we also are looking at access, egress, safety, that type
smart.
Of thing.
Yeah.
So East River Road and Old Priest River Road. Old Priest River Road is another big problem area. East River Road, we're going to do 2.6 miles of that first.
Okay.
And then Old Priest River Road, East River, and Old Priest River Road, we're going to do a half a mile. Okay, so we're trying to identify again where the problem areas are. District 3, North Boyer Road. Now, North Boyer Road is not a collector. And in fact, if you drive it, you would think, well, who lives out here? And there are people that live out there. But it's been one of our problem children for the last 4 years. We have dumped
a
ton of money. There's a lot of traffic.
Gets
so it connects Bronx Road to Selly Road. And so,
My church is right out there, so I can't count how many people are hopping in. That they're heading, either maybe they live in Dover.
Yeah.
And they'd want to skip the Ponderay.
Take
the
scenic route.
And they go...
And it's one of the roads that I'll tell you, I give everyone my personal cell number. And if you have problems, call me nights, weekends, it's fine.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten calls several times on a Saturday morning. Hey, this road is tore up. It's, we go through the whole time during breakup. People don't change their driving speed.
That's right.
The roads are hydrated. It tears them up. So it's been one of our problem children. Yeah. Park Lane and Shadow Mountain Road and then South Center Valley. And that whole Center Valley complex out there, that whole thing is on the schedule to clean all that up because that has also increased the number of cars per day on it. It's one of those other little shortcuts to cut you up all the way through to Culver.
Yep.
So it's another one of those. We did Main Street or out of Main Street in Kootenai, North Kootenai Road last year.
Oh, okay.
And if you haven't driven it, you should go drive it.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Nice.
Road and Bridge did a fantastic job.
Okay.
So those are the first years. The total for that is $3.38 million.
Okay. What's that? What's that look like on a countywide levy?
Well, it's $55 will get us on per 100,000 will get us about 3.6 million.
Okay.
And so that's kind of our buffer. That's our little bit of an insurance policy that if prices should adjust. And then we'll try to extrapolate the following year, which is always going to be a roll of the dice.
Okay.
So we're hoping if we do end up getting a little bit tighter than these numbers, then we'll have some carryover, but it'll all go to roads.
So being that the money is being designated, let's say you get through year one and you come in under budget, you can roll over those funds into the next project.
Yep. And the nice thing is we've got lists of roads, and for those viewing at home, there's some of our lists. This is District 1, which you won't be able to read, but you'll have it up there. District 2 list is right here.
Cool.
Oop. And then District 3 right here. So we've actually got our homework done. I mean, Road and Bridge has done a great job at doing their due diligence and really squaring this stuff away in conjunction with our engineer. So that if we should have extra money, we'll attack the next road.
Okay.
Now, one of the things we discussed just last week was that, you know, if we are able to pass this levy in May, we may front load the first year by taking out a tax anticipation note, which is called a TAN. Government uses it a lot. We've used it before to get through the end of a budget year. But that TAN will be in it. There'll be an interest rate involved, but the interest rate is really low. I mean, it's almost free money, no such thing, but really low.
Well, yeah.
Only because we're so concerned about oil prices. It's the thing that I lose sleep over at night. I keep watching oil prices going, oh, come on, please just level out, just level out. So it might behoove us to pull the trigger this year if we pass it in May. Mm-hmm. So we may actually be jumping on this a year sooner than we thought.
Yeah.
So as we get through the year, the public will be able to see the progress we've made, because the next levy will be coming up the following year to vote on that'll be funded the year after that. So it'll be a series of 2-year levies. I'd love to see us get done in 6, but I'm not that optimistic.
Right. Okay.
And just to be totally transparent, I think it's going to be more than 10, but we'll see. Or right at 10 years, actually not more than 10. Should be right at 10, but it could fall somewhere between 6 and 10 years.
And that would ultimately, all the major thoroughfare infrastructure needed for road and bridge to be able to properly maintain. Yep. And
that's replacing the culverts, doing the ditching work, doing the clearing of the right-of-way so we don't fill up the ditches, and then paving them, hard servicing.
So
you think about all those miles of roads, 280,000 for every 2 miles. You know, after we get beyond this, we're going to start seeing a real savings in yearly maintenance cost, which is the big kicker.
So when you look ahead at that and you look at the process for the levy, obviously you're here trying to get the word out a little bit. What else can people expect? Will this be, you know, something that's going to be public hearing comments and all that stuff? What's that process?
Public hearing. I'm going to go around the county. I kind of decided to take points since I was the I was stupid enough to say, let's do this. You're
driving the bus.
Well, I just, it's kind of became my pet project, but we're going to do a series of forums around the county. So we're going to try to make sure we hit Blanchard, hit Priest River, Sandpoint, of course, probably Clark Fork, because there's some roads in Clark Fork as well. And at least try to be out there to inform people, you know, here's your choice. Vote for it, don't vote for it. It's entirely up to you. And I understand either way. If you don't vote for it, that's fine. I'm just, from a economic and financial standpoint,
it's going to cost you more later.
Yeah. It's like buying a car and never changing the oil. The engine blows up and you go, man, I saved all that money, you know, not changing the oil. But now I got to spend $40,000 on a new
car. Well, here's what I'll tell you. The biggest frustration I have with levies in general is that they're not communicated well.
Right.
They're just not communicated well. Mm-hmm. And so if everything's always left up to the imagination, the levy ain't going to pass.
Oh, without a doubt. In fact,
without a doubt.
I always say if there's a gap, someone will fill that gap with information that's probably not correct.
Probably not correct. Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's why, in fact, and I will give
I own a marketing company.
There you go.
and I watch what some of those organizations do. I'm like, how are you? No wonder you're struggling with that.
So in my previous career, I was a commercial roof consultant. So I worked with a lot of school districts. And I had one out in central Washington that hadn't passed a levy in 60 years. Farming community.
Okay, yeah.
Their roofs were in horrible shape. I mean, there was more rain inside the building than there was outside the building when it rainstormed. So I said, here's what we do. I said, there's two things. One, we need to do what we say we're going to do. Two, we need to be very transparent. And I said, and three, I'll come in and present and make sure you invite the real negative people, the naysayers. Have them come. We'll serve dessert. Yeah. People always come for food. And we had some great pies, by the way. But anyway, that's probably why I got so fat. But I said, we will be brutally honest with them and let them know that here's why this is we're doing this. Yeah, and we passed it by, I think it was 85% after not passing a levy in 60 years.
Wow.
But it's just because we marketed it correctly. We told the truth. We did what we said we were going to do. And we were absolutely brutally honest with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what everybody really wants. Some of them think they want it, but really it's just tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just be transparent. Mm-hmm. And so we're gonna live up to that. I don't want to beat up on the school district because I think they try to do the best they can.
They really do, yeah.
I mean, years ago when we first moved here, they passed a levy and we're going to get 30 new buses and have class sizes of 25. They passed a levy. They got one new bus and class sizes were 30-something. So We don't want to go down that route. We want to be extremely transparent. Yeah. So this the commitment we've made is that if we say we're going to do this road, we're going to do that road. Mm-hmm. However many miles we're going to do on that road, that will be done.
Okay, good. So give people your cell phone number, Dan, because you mentioned it earlier. Yep. You did it last time. So
208-661-0428. That's 208-661-0428, and you can call me anytime, day or night.
Logan's going to put that. Logan's going to drop the phone number on the screen.
If I could ask you not to call after like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, that'd be awesome. but if you really feel like you have to, if you're up in the middle of the night, it's 1 o'clock, you're deciding you need a midnight snack, and you think, you know what, I have a question. Dan. Yeah, I'm going to call Dan. Weekends are fine. I get a lot of calls on weekends.
People are available. Yeah.
People are very respectful. They've always been, I'm so sorry for calling you, but it's like, no, I put it out there for a reason. So I would rather have you get the information straight from me and mm-hmm. get the facts, mm-hmm. because as you say, the rumor mill will start up its own little universe.
Yeah.
And we don't want that to happen. And everybody should know by now, we don't like tax increases. This board does not like tax increases. No. That's why we have kept the budget flat for the last 3 years.
I don't know if you saw my face when you guys said, yeah, we're thinking about passing.
Yeah,
I
know.
I'm like, what?
Oh, trust me. The conversations we had during budgeting, even then, I used the word levy because I said, listen, I've exhausted all the avenues. I've looked at grants. I've looked at, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
And it's just not there. It's just not. We're not going to get there. The only two, we're down to foregone, which people should rightfully pull their hair out if we talk about using foregone, or these retirable levies. I already had someone say, well, you're just going to keep doing this until you can make it permanent. I said, well, no, that's not how the county doesn't have that ability. The school district does. We don't. We do a 2-year levy. It's done. Boom.
Yeah.
It's gone. We do the next one. You have to approve each one of them. You can judge by looking at the progress. And if you like it, then you vote for the next one. If you don't like it, then don't vote for it.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, that caveat that, looking at this basically on just pure economics and fiscal responsibility, this will keep our budget down where it should be for road and bridge, because we won't be spending all that extra money that we're already starting to realize. We're starting to spend that money already on these roads just to keep them safe for the winter. Most people don't understand. I'd love to have folks come to our budget hearings during the summer. They start in July.
Okay.
I always do this. No one comes. It's okay.
Of course not.
But that's where you get to see the sausage be made, basically. Yeah. And you get to see, like, we spend $2 million a year just on snow plowing.
It's always easier to criticize than create.
Right. But I you're always welcome. If you have any questions, you got my number. We'll be flashing it on the screen. It's like a telethon. The phones are open now. No.
Well, when this goes live later today, I'm sure that you might get a ding or something.
And it's not a problem. Like I said, I would much rather make sure that you're getting the right information.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Because it's rampant out there. Yeah. I think people get bored. They don't have anything to do. They just make stuff up. So.
Well, and I think often, and we're just dealing with this, I think, nationally. I think we're dealing with it locally, is that, we've got blinders on to each other.
Right.
We're not seeing clearly. Who we are and who we are in our community.
And I recognize that we're getting pushed, we're getting squeezed from all different directions.
Correct,
And if there were another way to do this, trust me, I'm a creative thinker. And I just finally ran out of ideas. I mean, there was just nothing available to do other than this. Okay. So I think it's important. I think it's important to the future of the county. Okay. I think it's important to our financial future. Call me if you have questions. We'll be announcing here fairly soon the dates and times for these forums. So you can come and ask questions.
Good. What's the best way for people to discover those dates and to find out where should they follow something on social media?
Keep an eye on social media. Keep an eye on our county, our commissioner's website.
You have a commissioner's website. What about on social media? Is there like a Bonner County Commissioner Facebook page?
There's a commissioner Facebook page. There's a Road and Bridge Facebook page, which everybody should be on. If you're on Facebook, make sure you like the Road and Bridge Facebook page, because there's a lot of useful information that gets put out almost every day on that page. Closures, this and that.
Yeah.
And then I'll also be spreading it as well, because I've got like 2,100 plus followers, so I'll be able to get it out that way. Please contact us. We want to talk to you. We want to make sure that your questions are answered. And I always tell people, listen, when I come in and do a presentation, think of the toughest question you can think. In fact, I told this one couple, I said, I want you to be upset when you come in. Because usually when you're upset, I'll get to really hear what you think. Because a lot of times people will be too polite. It's just go ahead and fire it out there. Let's deal with it right now. Let's take it on. you know, I'll answer to the best of my ability, and then we'll move on. So, don't be afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
I may be a big guy, but I'm really not a scary guy. I just ask my wife.
Come angry.
Yeah, come angry. Show up angry. Leave satisfied. I don't know. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
so
hilarious.
Maybe that's our new slogan.
Tell us then a little about some of the other things that you're involved with, right? You're doing county commissioners, but aren't you involved in some other things here?
Yeah,
locally?
No, I'm on the Life Choices of Pregnancy Board.
Okay.
And I'm also on the Idaho Board.
Uh-huh.
And
we just had Christine on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited about the Sandpoint Community Services doing the whole Envision Center, because we're going to be involved
in that.
Isn't
that amazing? Yep. Linus is going to be coming on soon.
Yep.
So
yeah, Linus is awesome.
Yeah.
I think this is probably one of the best things for our community, because it brings all these nonprofits into one spot. And
That Envision Center concept just blew my mind, because I was able to meet with the HUD directors when they came into town.
Right.
I was there too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I was fatter then, though. You may not recognize me now.
So. You had just started your diet.
Yeah, that's right.
You had just started. So
that was during the weeping phase.
So
I want a Three Musketeers, but I have to have cauliflower.
That's right. So, you know, that concept of the Envision Center is great.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge. The other thing, too, my wife and I are kicking around starting up a foundation.
Cool.
I've got this real passion for people that want to go to trade school.
Okay.
And it kind of came from what started this was I was asked to do an award to a Bonner County Road and Bridge employee's daughter who won a scholarship.
Oh, okay, cool.
Over in Clark Fork. And so.
Oh, that's great.
I'm reading up on her, and I get up there to do the presentation. Mm-hmm. It was $1,000 scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so moved by her community service, her grades, her overall intelligence. I mean, she was just, she's one of those people that's got everything and just a sweetheart, very, very humble. As I'm talking, I said, well, you know what? Not only am I handing you this $1,000, but I'm going to give you $1,000 out of my own pocket.
Wow.
Now, I didn't have $1,000 in my pocket, just so everyone knows I'm not carrying $1,000 around.
Yeah, but, leave him alone.
But I was so moved that
I gave
her $1,000 from my wife and I. And so it's kind of moved me to go, okay, so where do we need help? And in our community, we need more tradespeople.
We do.
Four-year school is not for everybody.
Yeah.
Trades, I came up in the trades. It's very rewarding. You get paid really well. And it's a good career. So what I want to start doing is I want to start giving scholarships to people that that want to go to trade school. I don't care if you want to be a lineman, if you want to be a carpenter, a mechanic. You can always use mechanic. I mean, there's plumbers. Yeah. Try to get a contractor around here right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's tough.
Just can't. I've got a new pole building that I want to get insulated, and I got the bid. They came out and looked at it in December, and they're finally going to do the work next Tuesday. So, I mean, it's just... It's impossible to get people.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it's a great alternative.
I'm waiting on electricians. So,
especially for those young, for our young people. There's just folks that 4 years is not their deal. 4 year school's not their deal. It wasn't my deal. I tried. I didn't do well at it. I mean, I just got bored, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It might be the ADHD. But
you know,
I was able to excel
really
in another
different field.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of our passions. So that's one of the other things we're kind of getting into. We're starting to put that together right now.
Cool.
We're excited about that. People that know me know I'd love to get back to the community. Mm-hmm. I love this community.
Yeah.
My father tried to get me to go back to California and take over his excavating business, and I said, nope, I will not come back. Not only that, after I die, I will fight extradition from the grave. So
that's right.
Yeah. I am part of this community. I want to be part of this community. I want to help support this community.
That's awesome. So that's awesome. Well, that's great.
Yeah, great. And again, the Idaho and Life Choices. Two fantastic organizations.
If anybody's watching this, go back and watch the previous episode with Christine DeNova, who's the executive director at Life Choices and Idaho Families.
Yep. And she might be the greatest person on the planet.
Christine. She's amazing.
She is amazing.
She is amazing.
I can never sing her praises enough.
I am 100% with you on that.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yep. So her and Ron have been good friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And just amazing. So, and her mom goes to my church.
Which is
such a blessing to have D at the church. Yeah, just amazing. So with all that, any final thoughts as we kind of wrap up our time here, Dan?
You have literally sucked all the thoughts right out of
me. Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right.
That was easy. One little quick deal is I mentioned solid waste. We are going to have on the May ballot as well. We need to go out for a vote. We're going after a USDA loan. We've got a potential. In fact, I was doing some legwork on that today but a USDA loan to get this work done, because we desperately are. The amount of trash that we have we are handling now is more than double what we handled in 96, and our population has not doubled. So that gives you an idea. And then again, just like the roads, saving money on the roads, we're throwing money away every day hauling trash all around the county. So we are going to reconnoiter the way we do solid waste so that
All
we're
right.
not wasting money transporting garbage.
Okay.
So.
I have one word for how is it that a population doesn't double but trash doubles?
One
One
word.
word.
Actually, it's two words. 1 gallon plastic bottles.
Oh, I was going to say Amazon.
Yeah, if you go, well, Amazon, no, my, and trust me, my wife, we drove by the Amazon distribution center, and, my
Yeah,
wife,
in
and I told my
Spokane.
wife, hey, look at, I think you own part of this building because they deliver every day at our house. But no, there's, if you go out to our tipping floor out in where all the trash gets dumped and loaded on the containers, look at the piles of trash and look what's in it. Predominantly, it's 1 gallon plastic jugs. I don't know why we cannot come up with cardboard containers that you can go to the grocery store and bulk fill, you know, laundry detergent, you know, whatever, you know, beans, you know, bulk foods. That is our, that is the bane of solid waste existence is handling all that stuff. It's bulky, not a lot of weight, but bulky, so it takes up a lot of room. But predominantly, that's what you see. We tried doing the single stream recycling in Dover or Dover, Duford. Economically, it didn't pencil out, wasn't even close. Plus, people were dumping the wrong stuff in there, and then it just became garbage.
It
So,
is. It is tough to do
so
that,
and with China not taking our stuff, that's even that's almost a whole show in itself. But this is the way: if we can get consumer demand to say, "Listen, we don't want plastic anymore. We don't want plastic. These plastic bottles, these 1 gallon jugs. We want cardboard refillable jugs." And you know, it's just to me, it's one of those things. You know, it's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. You don't have to be conservative or liberal. You can say, hey,
Come
we can
on.
get behind this.
Yeah. And it's good for the environment. It's good for everything else. Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Well, Dan, thanks, man. Appreciate you coming
Sure.
on.
That was
And
kind of a cold data dump of information.
That was
wasn't
awesome.
it? Yeah. It was...
That's great. You know, hey, man, I know if I get you a little wound up,
I know.
we could be here. I mean, you know, we
And
can
what's
go
funny is
another
this is without
45,
any
50
sugar
minutes.
too. I'm sugar free, so it's like
You're like a whole new man.
Just think if I
Yeah.
had a Snickers bar before I came in here. I'd probably be burning up the video.
Yeah, no, we don't need that. We're
But
good.
no, a
We're
lot of
good.
good things happening out there.
Yeah.
Feel free to check in on the county commissioners whenever you want. We're always happy to tell you with what we've got on the burner. It's
Great.
important. I'm a big fan of people being overly involved in government. It's your government. We're working to represent you. Please reach out to us. We're, you know, show up for meetings, show up for planning and zoning workshops, the whole nine yards. There's plenty of ways to get involved. Everybody needs to get involved. It's
Amen.
important.
Yeah, that's good. I said
Okay.
amen like you're preaching. That's good.
Yeah, I know. And I just
All right. Okay, well, again, follow us on Facebook, YouTube. You can listen to this show anywhere where you listen to podcasts. You can download it. And as always, we want you to have a good report, right? We want you to think of the good things that are happening in your life. It's easy to focus on the negative,
Yep.
but man, sometimes we got to say, okay, let's keep it positive and focus on that. So with that, we sign off and say thanks for watching or listening today. Like, share, subscribe, hit the bell.
Hit the bell?
Yeah, there's a little bell that
Oh,
you
is
can
there?
hit. Yeah, there's a bell that you can hit, and you get notified when a new
Oh,
video
okay.
comes up,
Right.
so you can see
Perfect.
it, right? So notification bell. So with that, we'll see you guys later. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find out more about this podcast at BonnerBreakdown.com. You can also support this show and get personal video updates and thoughts from our host at Patreon.com/BonnerBreakdown. Thank you for joining us in the conversation.